It's 11 minutes past on my clock, so I thought I had a bit more time to meditate, but no, no. Here's me being picky. No, I'm ready. Thank you.
Take it away, love.
Thank you, Claire. And it's thank you, Helen, as well, going before me. It's lovely to see you up there. Big shoes to fill here. It's interesting. So my Al-Anon in lockdown has been I've been on a journey all of my own. My day's been a bit anxious, a bit nervous about speaking and sort of seeing how many people are in this room. And I started my day with an Al-Anon meeting, which was wonderful. I started my day opening an Al-Anon meeting, and it's a meeting that's been set up, an additional one on a Sunday morning that we wouldn't normally have because we're on Zoom. There's a second meeting opening up, and because I was the one who was opening this morning, I got to choose the topic, and I chose the topic of pride because I'd heard someone sharing about that this week in another meeting. And to me, I think my pride is one of the things that really gets in the way sometimes. And it's so wonderful to be here. I've been on the Al-Anon Without Borders meetings a good few times now, and it's really, really opened up my whole understanding of Al-Anon. I've always kind of aware that we are part of this worldwide fellowship, but never actually seen it until here we are in lockdown, where my world has got so much smaller, my outside world, but then my virtual world and my Al-Anon world is just bigger than ever. It's amazing. So I started this afternoon. I went to go and visit my sponsor. I've got there's somebody else has taken me through the steps as well, so I'm a bit greedy because it's almost like I've got two sponsors. But I've got like my soft sponsor. I went to go and visit her this afternoon for a couple of hours to calm me, to get me centered. And I sat in her garden with her and her husband, and they've both been in the fellowships for 40 years. So there's a lot of wisdom there and a lot of strength and a hell of a lot of love. And I was sitting under a tree because I have a tendency to get a bit funny in the heat and overheat. And I didn't want to be feeling poorly when I was here and sharing. And I sat under the tree in their garden, and I was absolutely covered with these itchy, itchy little bugs. These little thunderbugs, I think they're called, but they were just all over me coming out of this tree. And I sat there and I was scratching away. And I got home and my hair was looking really nice when I went. And I thought, oh, this is, you know, if I'm going to be on screen and people are going to be looking at me, God, I can't look too haggard. Oh, my God. And then I got home and I'm literally covered in these bugs that are crawling all over me. So I had to jump in the shower. So I had to wash my hair. So all my lovely, shiny hair curls are all gone. And I've now got wet hair. But this is my pride, you see. This is me just thinking, I saw that, Bruce. You know, this is my pride. This is who am I that people are going to be looking and judging? And it's the first thing that goes on in my head is I'm not good enough. I need to present myself in a certain way. And my higher power just decided to just rip that completely away from me. And yeah, it was either sit here looking like I've got fleas and scratch it away, or throw myself in the shower, get myself ready. And then so a decision that I made from watching and being on yesterday on Al-Anon Without Borders, I thought, I'm going to turn off my self view so I can't see myself on the screen, because that is the one thing. I love Al-Anon Zoom meetings, but I hate seeing myself on these Zoom meetings because then I can become my own worst critic. But that's me anyway. So I've turned off my camera view and I'm trying not to look at the participant screen at the bottom, because again, this is my self-esteem and this is my pride. If I look at how many participants there are in the room and I suddenly see that 10 people leave, I'm going to think everyone hates me. And I'm going to think no one wants to listen to what I've got to say. No one's interested. Oh, why did I even do this? Oh, everyone hates me. Because that's where sort of my non-God consciousness will kick in. And that's my soul sickness will just chip away at me if I don't do something, if I don't start working this program, and if I don't start applying these principles in all my affairs. So rather than coming in flustered from seeing my sponsor thinking, oh my God, I'm covered in bugs, I come in laughing, because actually my higher power has just taken my pride completely out of the whole equation. It's not about how I look, it's about what I share And hopefully, what I share won't be too much in the way of nonsense. Although I do get a little bit overexcited and I go a bit off topic, so bear with me. And I can see you, Claire, on the screen. So if you think I'm going off on a tangent, just do this to me. Well, you can do it to everyone else as well. Everyone will see. So my pride needed a bit of a check-in, because I'd heard someone sharing about pride and thinking that, saying that on the one hand, I can be proud of myself for an achievement or something like that. But for me, like, pride is worrying what people will think of me. And I sometimes go against what I feel and what I think is right, because actually I need to feel included. I need to feel part of, and I need to feel approved of. And I shared about that in the meeting earlier, because actually I think that's been going around in my head, because I knew I was going to be sharing here today, and I have this need to feel accepted, and it's people pleaser in me that, I want to be liked. And then all this, I have all this fear, and it's because I forget that my higher power is here with me. My higher power is here with me right now. I'm getting the fears kicking in a little bit, but having seen my sponsor for a couple of hours earlier, she said, "What time are you starting?" I said, "I'm starting at 8:15. Her and her husband are praying for me at 8:15. So he's kind of on Zoom, but they're only just starting to get their heads around the Zoom. So they're not here with us today. And Anne said to me, she said, "You know, God's going to be sitting right next to you." I was like, "Thank you." And that's when I'm working this, and when I am really, really working all three sides of this triangle and being part of the program and getting in the middle of the bed, I know that God is with me. And I know that all the love and the experience that has been shared with me is what is here with me right now. Rather than messy hair, bugs and itching, there's a lot more. So when we first went into lockdown, I think that's so where actually my soul sickness would want me to be, in lockdown, isolated, not being able to see anybody else, trapped in this house with my husband, working from home 24/7 in this marriage. The idea that I could have been in lockdown with him when he was drinking, it was just absolutely unimaginable. The idea of being in lockdown and not being able to get to an Al-Anon meeting was just absolutely terrifying. But there's still that little voice in my head that is like, but if we're in lockdown now, it's time to really, you can focus on yourself, and I can kind of go off into my own head a little bit. I can isolate from other people. And I can start, isolate. I could sit and read a load of Al-Anon literature, and I could maybe listen to some speaker tapes, but I could be completely and utterly self-driven. And that was my first thought when lockdown started, was, oh, I can take some space. I can have some me time. That's dangerous. Me time is not good. It's really not good for me. And I am really, really, really blessed that, there are some really strong people in Al-Anon that I have around me. And one of those people opened up a Zoom, I think it was a Skype meeting, the first one, was the day after lockdown was announced. I think it was that Skype meeting. I think it was a Tuesday. So on day two of lockdown already, I'm trying to get into an Al-Anon meeting, and I'm in, and there's a few teething troubles to begin with, and certainly with me and my internet connection and my using computers and setting things up, and it was a faff. But thank God that there was somebody there who was already trying to find a way to keep Al-Anon going, to stop me from isolating and stop me to fight all those instincts that actually, I can sit at home and I can take a break and I don't have to do anything, and it's time in my head. And I heard someone else sharing recently that the devil doesn't want me dead. The devil doesn't want me sort of suicidal and miserable and end of the world. The devil wants me ineffectual. So that is sitting at home in my own head, not feeling helpful, not feeling I'm doing anything worthwhile, feeling completely and utterly worthless. That's where the devil would want me to be. Whereas my higher power wants me to actually be part of this incredible, incredible fellowship, working the three sides of this triangle. So that's where my higher power wants me to be. And the fact that Al-Anon Without Borders opened up really quite early on into lockdown, I don't know if I was on the first one. I heard Mary Pearl. I heard Mary Pearl share, and that was very, very early on. And so from going from all of this stuff on the news about, you know, socially distant, self-isolating, all these things that just are actually the worst things in the world for me, to be completely going the opposite direction by being included in this fellowship, being included in these wider meetings, these Al-Anon Without Borders. And I know it's technically not Al-Anon Without Borders, but the program is here. God is here in this room. This is Al-Anon, because it is a group of people sharing experience, strength and hope with each other. And I think it's just wonderful. So my Al-Anon in lockdown, I started going to online meetings straight away. And at first I was going to a couple of the local meetings and being around Al-Anon members that I knew, I think. And I saw that there were other Zoom meetings popping up, but I stayed with the local meetings. And then I went on to the Al-Anon Without Borders, and I heard Mary Pearl share. And that, I mean, I heard lots of other people share. It was an amazing day. But when I heard Mary Pearl, I suddenly realised that this lockdown has, there's an awful, awful, awful situation, this COVID-19 and what it's doing to people in the world. But the one good thing that can come from this is actually that I can enlarge my spiritual life if I seek it out, if I really search for it. And a few years ago, I've been in Al-Anon, it's 10 years it will be next month. I've been in Al-Anon. And my husband's been in AA for the same amount of time. So he's 10 years sober, hasn't picked up a drink since. And yeah, I've been in Al-Anon first in Southwest London. And then I moved back to Hertfordshire, which is north of London, to be closer to my parents and in their retirement. And I went to Letchworth as my home group, because that was my hometown. And I found this incredible fellowship at Letchworth Friday. There's an Al-Anon meeting with an AA meeting next door. The first Friday of every month is an open meeting with a joint AA and Al-Anon chair. There's a lot of that meeting's been around a long, long time. Where am I going with this? So I'm part of this home group already, and I'm doing service in this home group. It's absolutely amazing. And I found a sponsor in this home group. And it really, really opened my eyes. So I really started to listen. I started to really see enthusiasm when I came to Letchworth. And I came to that meeting, and when I realised that actually there's more than just one meeting a week I could be going to. I could be going to two meetings a week. And there's one not so far down the road, I could do two. And I was sitting around in meetings, and I was really loving the fellowship. I was really loving being part of it. And my relationship at home with my husband was changing. We still had our ups and downs, but I was learning some of the principles of the Al-Anon program, learning to let go and let God, learning to detach with love, and learning that when I get busy, I get better. So I became a group rep. I started going to district day. I started reaching out to more people in the fellowship, and I started doing more than just turning up to one meeting a week. Turning up 1 minute to eight, sitting in the meeting, sharing. And some of the time I was just regurgitating stuff I read in the literature. And I was quite a good salesperson, so I could sound like I knew what I was talking about, but I didn't really have much of an idea. But I was loving the fellowship. I was loving that, being that in that sort of in that bubble in the fellowship, in that meeting, and kind of learning. And I was starting to get better. And then it took me 4 years of being in Al-Anon before I got the nerve to ask somebody to be my sponsor. And I asked someone to sponsor me who, she always had joy. She was always laughing and she was so full of love. And I thought, I want what she's got. So I asked her to be my sponsor. And we went through the steps really, really gently. And it was a couple of years of stopping, starting, and there's always something else going on. And I was always kind of delaying stuff. And it took me 6 months to write my step four. And it took me six months to actually just be able to twist my step four around so that it was all everybody else's fault and nothing to do with me. And I kind of stumbled at step six. I was like, how do I know when I'm at step six? How do I know when I'm at step seven? What do I do next? I just don't understand this. And then I heard Mary Pearl speaker tape. Someone had said, oh, have you ever listened to speaker tapes on YouTube? And I heard Mary Pearl, and I heard her sharing about how she worked the steps. And I really wanted what she had. I really, really wanted to, because she was so honest about her own spiritual malady. And she was so honest about her behavior. And I realized at that point, I realized that when I'd gone through the steps the first time around, I went through the steps because I wanted to be the person in the Al-Anon room saying, when I did my step four, as though I am the oracle of all things Al-Anon, because I've actually worked this program, but I wasn't ready to change. I didn't want to change. My relationship got better through coming into Al-Anon, but I still had a lot of those behaviors, the four M's. There's something that I'd still always go back to, those four M's, management, manipulation, martyrdom, and mothering. That's me. That's what I always end up going back to. And so my marriage had got better through being in the fellowship, but some of it as well was I wanted to work my steps because he'd worked his steps and he was still being a bit of a so-and-so in my eyes. So I was still so obsessed with his behaviour. He's not going to enough meetings. When did he last call his sponsor? You know, he'd worked his steps. Where was my amends? I never got an amends. Oh, I'm giving you a living amends. What's a living amends? Where's my amends? I was still so micromanaging his recovery, but also enjoying being part of this fellowship. Didn't see it until I heard Mary Pearl sharing, and I heard about how she worked her steps, and I spoke to my sponsor, who said that there's someone who can take you through the steps a different way. And I went through those steps nearly three years ago. And oh my word, when I actually found my character defects, when I realized step seven, when I realized those defects, I had to, were entirely ready to have God remove my defects of character. I think the reason I couldn't get to step six first time around was because I still didn't really think I had defects. I just had a husband who didn't do what he was told. So to go through my steps and have this list of my defects of character, and then have a way of working through it by actually getting on with steps eight and nine and making amends, clearing away the wreckage of the past and actually being able to accept myself for who I was. And that all kind of came about when I've started being open and willing to listen to what other people had to say, rather than just being wanting to be part of this fellowship and to talk some good Al-Anon. I wanted to walk the walk because I wanted to have that joy that I heard shared. And I started to have that about 3 years ago. And 10, 11 and 12, those three steps, really, really important. It took me a long time to really get step 10 embedded in my daily life, and having the discipline to actually be able to review my day and look at where I'd gone wrong and look at who I'd harmed and be able to set things straight. And I was really quite structured with it. I did a written step 10 for quite a long time, and I spoke to my sponsor every day, and I was doing gratitude lists every day, because actually I really needed to unlearn all of the old behaviors. I needed to unlearn that when I started to get that really uncomfortable feeling in my stomach, then I haven't done that right, but then I haven't really done that right because they did that, and I can't make amends to them because what are they going to think of me? And then my pride all comes in, and I then start to justify my own behavior and all of that stuff. These are the habits that I had to unlearn through actually practicing this program every day, and prayer and meditation and carrying the message. So seeing through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact. I thought I was good at that. I thought I was quite good at meditating and doing guided meditations and lying down in a room and trying to center my mind. But I had no idea about what prayer and meditation actually was until I'd cleared all that stuff off my shoulders and made amends to the people I needed to make amends to. So that actually when I did pray and meditate, my head wasn't full of resentment and fear. My head was full of actually praying, asking God for the guidance, and then listening for those answers, then meditating, listening for God's answers. And I'm sure that's in the literature somewhere, isn't it? Praying is asking God for guidance, and meditation is God's response. I didn't think that's what it was all about. But having cleared away that wreckage and have that feeling of peace, prayer and meditation then started to become part of my day. And it got to the point where doing a written step 10 every day I didn't need to call that into a sponsor at the end of every day, because I'd got so used to actually, as soon as I get that feeling in the top of my stomach that something's not right, go and set it straight, because otherwise that's just going to ruin my day. And I've had all this stuff in sort of building up in the bank to get me to where we are today, which is, I'm in lockdown and I don't have physical access to people in the fellowship. So it really is about what have I got, where, you know, what am I doing with my Al-Anon in whilst I'm in lockdown? And am I actually making the most of what I'm doing here? Step 12 and actually being able to carry the message and practice these principles in all my affairs. That's something I really try to do every day. I'm not great at it. There's a lot of progress that needs to be made. But I know that God has brought this lockdown for a reason. And I can sit in meetings kind of just repeating myself or sticking to my home group meetings. And I can very quickly become ineffectual if I'm not careful. So I have all of these reserves that I'd built up through sort of practicing those steps. But then how can I bring that into lockdown and a living situation that is very, very different to what I'm used to? And I mentioned before, the idea of being stuck in lockdown in the house with my husband 24/7, drinking or not drinking, it would not have worked out well if I hadn't got this Al-Anon program and learned from everybody here the principles of the program. I hadn't realized just how much time I could spend going out to meetings, meeting up with people in the fellowship and not actually spending an enormous amount of time with my husband. I was doing a certain number of meetings a week, which I still need to do. I still need to make sure that I have more than just one meeting a week. Otherwise my head goes off on one. But actually being in the house together 24/7, even before, like if it had just been me coming into Al-Anon and going to the odd meeting every now and then, there would have been divorce going on months ago. Like the standoffs and the resentments and the frustrations and all these things that would irritate. I mean, we do still have a standoff over who's going to put the bins out, and it's still just building up and up and up. It's ridiculous, really, but we're not really arguing. And that it's because actually I can feel that feeling in my gut, and I've got that sense of how important is this, what's really going on here. And it's really interesting because when I did my step four and I looked at some of the reasons why I was so resentful at my husband, some of it was because I felt he didn't work his program the way that I worked my program, even though I didn't even know I had a program until I did that step four. But I used to be really resentful that he would nap all the time. Like he does a day's work and then he needs a 2-hour lie down because he can't cope. And then he's, you know, and that would drive me insane that he needed a nap. Well, I love that now because I get the house to myself. I mean, I have to be quiet, so I'm not waking him up during his nap, but that's a blessing to me today. This thing that I was so resentful of, thank God he disappears for 2 hours of the day so that we're not in each other's company, under each other's feet. And there's been the odd week, you know, weeks here and there where he's having a really stressful time with work. And well, I don't realise he's having a stressful time with work. I just hear that he's being a bit snappy and I'm starting to get a little bit irritated. And eventually, rather than saying, "Why do you think you are talking to me like that? Why are you doing this?" I actually said, "What's going on? Is everything all right? Is there something I could be doing? Because you seem a little bit uptight at the moment." And he said he's having a difficult time with work. And I said, "Well, how can I help?" And I said, "Can I help support you in any way? Is there anything I can do to help you out with your jobs?" He works in care and it's his work is a lot sort of tougher than mine is in a lot of ways. That would never have been me before. It would have been, "Who does he think he is talking to me like that? God, is it any wonder I need the Al-Anon program? Is it any wonder I need, you know?" I didn't even think for one second that maybe he was going through something. But because I have enough of this experience under my belt and I have enough people around me that I can be accountable to, I can actually check in with that behavior and stop it before it just steamrolls. It's incredible, really. About 18 months ago, I had a massive change in my job, in my career. I'd spent 15 years, working in homelessness because I was such a fixer. I always loved alcoholics. It wasn't just the one I'm with now. I just had a pattern of wanting to fix people and falling in love with the man he almost was. And so I decided I was so good at fixing people that I was going to work in homelessness and I was going to fix lots of homeless people and tell them how they should be living their lives. But then when I came into Al-Anon, I very quickly realized that I really do not have a healthy relationship with other human beings and I need to start to mind my own business. So I then decided I was going to start managing homeless services instead. And my ego kind of got all built up with all these wonderful things that I'm doing in homelessness. And I was managing these teams of people. And eventually it got to the point where there was an amends I needed to make to a manager and I did not want to make it. I had so much resentment towards this woman. I really struggled. No, I was not going to make that amends. And it ended up causing such a toxic feeling about my workplace that when it came to a time where they were going to start making people redundant, I just knew I needed to cut and run. I just had this feeling that I'm not going to fit. I tried to fit into this organization for 6 years, but actually, having gone through the steps and realized it's not about me needing to fit into that relationship, into that organization, maybe that, you know, actually it's okay that I don't fit. Maybe I need to do something different. But my pride kept me there until I'd really overstayed my time there. And it's quite a drive where I was working. I was managing a night shelter and a couple of other services and mother and baby services. And then I got this new job. My pride just took this massive drop and I ended up with depression. I ended up really, really stressed out and I ended up having a conversation with my husband where I said, "Okay, so I've been the earner in the family. I've been the breadwinner, but I think I need to take a step back. I need to change career. I need to do something different." I was working all the hours, God send. I wasn't getting home until 7 o'clock at night. I was just so caught up with this organization. And then eventually I just said, I can't do it anymore. And I ran from that organization and I took a new job working in a charity, working with old people and working with volunteers for a small charity. And it was a few minutes down the road drive. And I let go of all of the pride and everything, and the fact that I never made amends to that manager, never really made amends to the organisation, really. But the best amends I could have made was to cut and run and let them have a fresh start, let me have a fresh start. So I took the pay cut. I took a lesser paid job and less responsibility. And oh my God, I got so much more time. I got time to spend with people in the fellowship. I got time to spend with my family. I got time to spend time at home with my animals. And I've stopped rescuing human beings quite so much. And now I've just got 4 cats and a one-eyed dog. And then I started rescuing. I foster for Cats Protection. So I'm currently in lockdown with 4 kittens and their mum cat in our spare room, 4 cats and a mad dog in this house, and that's all I do to rescue. But all of this I wouldn't have been able to do if I'd had that other job. But I've gone off on a tangent there, but if I had been in that job, in that night shelter, that I felt so much epitomised who I was in homelessness, and who would I be if I don't have this job? I'd be down there right now with some of the most unhygienic circumstances. I would have been constantly in fear. I would have had to go to work every single day in that shelter. And it's amazing that there's people who are working in those circumstances. Absolutely amazing. But that would have killed me, I think. That would have absolutely ruined me. But my higher power had already taken my ego out of the work situation. My higher power brought me home, and I now have a job where I can work from home. I'm going back to my office next week for a couple of days a week. There's going to be a lot of hand gel, a lot of and disinfectant sprayed around, and we're only going to do it until for as long as it's safe to do it. But like, my higher power, God knew all this was coming and put me in this situation where I have got a job that I absolutely love now. I love my job. I love working with older people. I love the people that I work with. I love the fact that I can be myself. I can be a bit dotty and a bit crazy, and I'm not trying to pretend to be someone I'm not. And to be able to do this in lockdown and actually make a real, real difference. It's just, yeah. God has just been with me this entire time. And it just, yeah, when I just look back over all the things that have happened to build me up to this particular point, God gave me the gift of time. And I thought money was all really, really, really important. But actually, I've learned through being in lockdown and not needing to spend money on clothes or spend money on days out or spend money on holidays to escape my surroundings. My surroundings have been the same 4 walls for the last 16, 17 weeks now, physically, but spiritually, I'm here in this conference right now with so many years and so many different experiences just of fellowship and of this spiritual way of life. It's just, I've never felt more connected. I think the only other time when I've felt that is when I've gone to a big convention, and I've only been to conventions a few times. And there's a big one in the UK, the Heart of England Convention. And that being around people in both fellowships, being around people in AA and in Al-Anon, and all of the shared platforms and all of the incredible experience and hearing so many different people sharing in different ways is just, I would come away from that convention from being a weekend in a hotel in Birmingham of all places, which is no offense to anyone from Birmingham, but it's not where I would choose to be spending a weekend away. But oh my God, being in a room with, like, I think I counted the chairs in the main room, 800 chairs in that room, and hearing people and being part of something when everyone's doing sobriety countdowns and clapping and singing and shouting. Oh my God, it's just incredible. But I can't go to Birmingham this year because it's been cancelled, but instead I can be here and I can get that spiritual feeling, that tingling feeling of being part of this incredible, incredible fellowship. Even when I'm sitting here on my sofa and the dog's kind of looking at me because he wants me to feed him, and there's a cat hovering around in the background, but I'm not, I'm part of this. It's just, and I do, I miss my physical meetings. I miss the hugs that I get. I miss being able to go for lunch with my sponsor once a week and to sit and we hold hands sometimes and we pray at the dinner table. To my God is a bit different to her God, but it doesn't matter because at the end of the day, God is God and God is looking after us both. I miss being able to have that physical contact in it, but I still am able to actually keep the principles and of this way of life. I can still follow those. And it's not just through Zoom. It's about actually being able to pick up the phone and speak to my sponsor. Not becoming a Zoom tourist. I did that for a while after coming on Al-Anon Without Borders. I thought, oh, I like this. I'm going to try some other meetings and try some different conventions and try some other fellowship meetings as well. And that was great. But actually, I was finding for a while, I went through this phase where I was like, right, okay, I'm sitting down. Oh, my husband's upstairs doing a bit of work. What could I do? Could I meditate? No, I'll go on a meeting. And I was going on meetings all the time. And then I got to the point where there was this should. I should be in a meeting. I should be doing. And I went through a phase of consciously separating myself a little bit from the people in my life and my family because I was getting excited with Zoom meetings. And I know now that I needed to get some balance and I needed to get some service. And that was the third part of the triangle. So I had a program. I had my, my higher power, I have my steps, I can make amends, I can do step 10 every day so that I don't kill my husband and I can try and be a kind, loving, tolerant person. But I needed to have some service. It's very difficult to be doing service in the same way during lockdown. And I do have, I still have a home group in Al-Anon. I have groups that I go to regularly. And the one of my home groups that I do service in, it hadn't opened up again yet on Zoom. And I had a conversation with one of the home group members who said it would be nice if we could open up a Zoom meeting again. And I thought, actually, no, this is what I can do. You know, other people are hosting Zoom meetings and I was being a Zoom tourist a little bit. And I was going to some meetings and loving seeing all of my people and in the fellowship and the people that I'm close to and seeing my sponsor and in Zoom meetings and seeing my Al-Anon friends and keeping in contact with sponsees. But actually I needed to keep doing something in the way of service. And I do phone service. I was doing phone service at a different time of day where I weren't really getting many calls, but I changed that during the lockdown. And I said, that I've had a couple of negative experiences or something to do with this, the phone service. But I said, I think I need to change the shift that I'm on. And so I did that a few weeks into the lockdown. And I now do a Saturday afternoon for about 6 hours on phone service. And there's never been so much need for these fellowships. There's never been so much need. There's so much fear and so much sickness out there. And with no physical meetings, phone service is suddenly becoming so, so, so important again because it's that connection. When I found my way into Al-Anon, I went online and I Googled how to stop my husband from drinking. Well, my boyfriend, it was at the time, how to stop an alcoholic from drinking. And I was directed to Al-Anon through the website. But actually, if you're directed to go to an Al-Anon meeting, and I found my way into an Al-Anon meeting, I walked into that meeting full of fear. But if people can't just walk into an Al-Anon meeting and kind of, you know, to reach out to actually be able to have a conversation with somebody in Al-Anon, to have a conversation with another human being about this spiritual soul sickness, it's so, so vital. And so being able to do service in that way is keeping me well. It's keeping me busy and keeping me involved and helping me to carry that message. I've started hosting my home group as well on a Zoom meeting. And I've also started, I was already on a committee for a mini convention that we run in our area. But I also host those convention committee meetings now. And we're thinking about, we've made the decision to move that convention. And it's a joint convention. It's AANL non-participation. But we're moving that onto Zoom. And the only reason we've been able to do that is because I have this Zoom program, because the other people in the committee haven't really got the same technological understanding. I haven't really. I've got Claire. And Claire's been doing the Day of Gratitude in the UK. And I was on Al-Anon Without Borders. And so when people said, could we do a convention on Al-Anon, I'm like, yes, we can. We can. Oh, my God. And so the things that I've learned and from Al-Anon Without Borders and the things that I've learned from Claire, I had, poor Claire had to go through an hour of explaining all of this stuff to me. But it was... yeah, that's how I was able to do my service and be able to type up the minutes of this committee meeting and to actually be able to share experience to be able to make this the best that it can be. And rather than thinking of everything that we can't do, think about what we can do to open this up now. And so when I think when I got busy, I got better, I got a bit lazy with my service and I became this Zoom tourist, and then I got this Zoom fatigue because I wasn't feeling connected. But then I threw myself back in the middle of the bed again, and I'm doing stuff on that committee. I'm doing hosting a home group meeting. I agreed to share today and I'm sorry because I've gone on and on and on. And I'm just, I think, yeah, it's just so exciting to be able to hear so many wonderful people sharing and to feel so part of something so huge right now. Lockdown has taken a lot away from me in physical liberty, but it has brought me so much in the way of experience, strength and hope from other people. And I love this now, and I can't wait for when we're able to open our physical meetings safely. But I hope to God we can carry on doing things like this, because I think it's quite easy for me to get back into a bit of a rut and do a bit of people pleasing and thinking if I do the same little bits of service in the same way, that'll just about keep me topped up. But I needed to have an injection of something new into my recovery, and my higher power brought me this through lockdown. And I think nobody could have predicted the pandemic, but thank God this happened now rather than 20 years ago, or when we didn't have the internet, where we weren't able to connect. I mean, how these fellowships would have survived, how anybody would have survived if we just had phone service but no way of actually being able to get together to share and to support each other in this way. It is such a blessing that it has happened now. And it is such a blessing that I have so much inspiration from you all and all the service that you all do and all the experience that you have that you've shared with me to be part of something so much bigger. I love the fact that when it talks about the traditions, the Worldwide Fellowship of Al-Anon and AA as a whole, and there is this reminder that we are in a worldwide fellowship. And it's only about 6 months ago I started actually signing up to the newsletter that comes from the World Service Office. So I signed up to the GSO newsletter from the UK, but then I signed up to the World Service Office one as well, because I wanted to find out more about being part of this incredible fellowship and find out about the from the stateside. But never in a million years did I think that I would be here. Being able to hear Mary Pearl share, be in the room with Mary Pearl. I was there the second time Mary Pearl did a share, and I was able to raise my hand and share back to her and say, you inspired me to work my steps again. You changed my life. And everybody else says the same thing because she's so wonderful and inspirational. But I was buzzing after that. I came bouncing down the stairs and hugged my husband. And oh, my God, it's just, yeah, I'm sorry, I've gone on for a little bit too long now. I should let somebody else take the floor. But wow, Thank you so, so much for letting me be part of this. And I'm sorry I've gone on so long. My God was sitting here next to me, but he's probably telling me to just stop now. So I'll leave it there. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Vicky. That was great.